was lost, the treaty signed, I was not caught, across the line, I was not caught, though many tried, I live among you, well disguised, I had to leave my
more like TV.
Behind.
True Detective Review Show. This today we're going to be reviewing True Detective Season 2, Episode 6. What's the title of this episode? God damn it, I never look it up.
Huge Aura.
Huge Aura. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. By the way, let me tell you a couple. This show has been a roller coaster so far of emotions for me. I have gone from loving it to going, oh my God, this is garbage, to then again being like, you got me back, you motherfuckers.
Same here. And this past episode was the one that went, okay, all right, I got to get back in.
Yeah.
It really pulled me back.
And when the show started, I was like, I don't know if I really like this intro song. Now I fucking love this intro song. Like, I find myself humming it during the day. The Nevermind part.
Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Fucking great.
Yeah, the song only came out a year ago. And what's really cool is apparently they changed the verse every episode.
Yeah, dude. Remember, I didn't figure that out. I texted Joe today, and I said, do they change? Because I was like, I don't remember something about zombies and vampires last week. And you know what I mean? I was like, that's really, I thought that was really, really cool. But, this week's episode, holy shit. I mean, if you were on the fence before, I really can't believe you're on the fence now, because they solved a lot of things. Yeah. A lot of things. Okay, well,
we finally got to see what was teased and talked about for, I guess, since maybe the first episode, the high class hooker party.
Oh God! By the way, awesome party,
incredible.
I mean, forget you know the terrible things. Okay, if it wasn't for the murder, what a party! But let's go back, because before we get to the party, What do we? Okay, goddamn, that scene. When they're sitting at the kitchen table, I know we joked about the shooting scene from Heat,
right?
But this, I'm going to use Heat as a compliment. It reminded me, in terms of the tension, of the Pacino De Niro when they're sitting at the diner.
At the diner,
yeah,
yes.
I felt
that good fucking call. Yeah,
that tension of like, oh fuck, because
there's a flip side to that coin.
Yeah. And it was like, oh no, because it was once again. And I can't believe I can't believe I'm saying it. Vince Vaughn's acting in that scene was really good. He was fucking spot. I don't want to shoot you in my kitchen. Fucking holy shit. I mean,
and at the end when he goes, next time you come at me with a gun, make sure I don't see
it. Make sure I don't see it. Yeah. I mean, it was fucking. So basically that scene was Frank convincing Ray that he really thought that was the guy that raped his wife.
Now, here's the thing. Right. Call me naive, Royce, but
I believe him.
I'm tending to believe Vince Vaughn's character.
Yeah.
When he says he didn't know and really thought that was the guy.
You want to know why?
Solid info.
You want to know why I believe him? And I know this is weird, and I know people are going to go, but I believe the one thing that I've picked up from maybe, and I hope I'm not wrong, but the one thing I picked up from Frank's character is he has a moral code.
To some degree, he does.
When it comes to that stuff, because even he said at the table, I would have done the same thing if it would have been me. Like,
right.
Very like, you know, that's a man's family. Like, he doesn't seem like he seems like the kind of old school gangster that would kill you and then send money to your family.
Right.
You know what? And actually kind of funny. He did something sort of like that later on when he gave the money to
what's her name? I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I can't think of it.
I forget. But we'll get back to that. But
yeah. And, you know, there's the obvious flip side, which is, you know, he needed a cop in his back pocket. And
was
a perfect in. But even for that character, I think you're right. I think that seems too sick. And too fucked up for him to do.
Right. Like, I honestly believe that he thought, you know, of course he reaped the benefit of it, of having a cop under his thumb. But even he said, like, you were going to do that whether I gave you it. Like, he was saying that you had that in you. Don't put that on me. Like, don't blame me because I didn't make you kill him. He said, all I did was give you a name. And that's true. That is a good defense from him, because you could also look at it like that, go, I didn't make you kill him. I gave you a fucking name.
Right.
And
it really is. I mean, the guy was a cop.
Yeah.
All you had to do was give that name into a superior or another cop, exactly. You know, on the side and go, hey, go bust this guy. No, you knew you wanted to kill this motherfucker, and you should have.
And you know, of course, and that's what, and that's, I think that's what the best part about that scene was. They both, well, even I think Frank said it. We're more similar than you think. You know, like in terms of the way they think and the stuff that they were doing. Like I think that's when they first actually, after that whole long career, they first respected each other in something. Like they both had this mutual, like, I know it. I get what you're going through. You know, you had to do it, and then. Frank helps him, I guess. Oh, then before we leave the dinner table, I guess we could say, Frank, Ray asked him to talk to the guy that did rape his wife, the DNA evidence.
Oh, we went to the, yeah.
So, that was fucking great. That was another good scene. So then we go, then we leave from there. What's the, I guess, do we stick with Frank's side or do you want to keep going with Ray's side? Of the story,
I think it more sticks with Ray at this point.
So then, Ray, the next scene, I want to say if this is correct, is the next scene him when he goes home. Oh no, the next scene is him with his kid with supervised visit.
Being supervised, yeah.
Which
yeah.
fuck God, that looks fucking terrible to have to go through.
Dude, that was so awkward. And watching that, it looked like, you know, you and I have no idea.
Of course.
But it looked like that's exactly how it would play out.
Right.
When a father has to be supervised watching his own kid, how uncomfortable and felt ridiculous
You feel embarrassed, like as if you've done something. I mean, to be
right,
fair.
Like every word you say to your kid, you got to watch and like think, is this going to be construed as.
He kept saying, what are you writing down? Like, you know.
Right. When he was showing the kid, like the bomber plane he was going to put together. And when the kid was like, well, it's used to kill people.
But by the way,
look over and it, you got to think like to myself, I was thinking, well, if that woman wasn't there with a notepad, I would say, well, that's part of war. That's but you can't say that because it'll come up in court that you condone killing people.
And that kid is a nerd, by the way. He wants to watch Friends.
Oh, is really? Dorky? He's made to look like a dorky fag. Yeah.
I mean, God damn it. But the thing I didn't get is that the guy that was a rapist, a redhead, because he didn't look like a redhead.
That was the other weird thing.
I don't. Where is this kid?
When to go back to what you said before, when he went to visit the guy in jail, he goes, "You don't have his eyes," or something like that, right? Didn't he say like you don't look like him?
Yep.
So and that's I picked up on that. I'm like, yeah, and he didn't like. So that might be
eyes.
Another.
The fucking rapist was a fucking Puerto Rican guy, basic, right?
Well, I would go Puerto Rican.
Well, darker skinned white guy. Well, fine.
I don't know how you get a redhead. I mean, the woman, his wife, you know, is dark haired Italian looking. I don't know how you get redhead out of that. But the guy he visited in prison didn't seem like the type that would provide that. So, yeah, that could be another.
Well, going back to the visit. So he's there. They watch Friends. He tells kids, no matter what they tell you, you know, I'm your dad. Because, you know, the whole paternity thing.
Right.
As soon as his kid leaves.
Oh,
fucking booze.
Oh, boy, did I have a flashback or two watching that scene.
And that's what I told Joe, that scene where he was cutting up rails and drinking. I was like,
and I said to Royce, I was like, dude, if those are rails, I did coke wrong for a year because was cutting up
but
rails.
But here's what I said.
Two or three times the size I would ever do.
Colin Farrell looked like he was way too familiar with that. He didn't look like he was acting. It looked like, because if you read stories about him, this guy fucking parties. Like, he's fucking dick swinging, fucking drunk.
Right.
Coke. I mean, why? Of course you were calling Farrell. Like, obviously, you know?
Yeah. He's absolutely familiar with
that. That's what Joe said. Those rails are humongous. I go, he probably doesn't have a fucking septum. So, right. He's snorting these fucking rails, losing his. I love when he was fucking doing the pull ups and fucking knocking shit over, breaking
doing
shit.
The shadow boxing and the
Yeah. Then he calls his ex, tells her that you could keep I won't contest custody, just don't have the paternity test, you know.
That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, that was tough, man. You know, I don't like her. I know he's pissed off, I know he's mad, but I still don't like her because, you know, now that, and also that goes back to the rapist thing, like you could tell Frank was genuinely surprised that they caught the real rapist. Like, if you would have thought that
you're absolutely right. That's the other reason I do buy what he's saying. That, you know, he didn't know he gave him
right.
The wrong. Yeah, yeah.
just the look on his face, like he was like, wait, I didn't know that. Like, he didn't look like he was lying.
Right.
Because that would have been something they would have shown him looking at the news and going, oh, shit, they caught the real, you know what I mean?
Right.
They caught the real person or whatever. I guess is they never explain exactly how she was raped, because I guess she never saw the guy, obviously.
Apparently. Yeah, it was just a DNA match, which is how, you know.
Which to me, that shit's so crooked, I'm a little worried that was fucked up, because once again, the red hair thing.
Yeah, that is, again, it's a weird thing. Like you said, it doesn't match the guy he went to visit in jail. It doesn't.
Mm-mm. No, no, not at all. I mean, the only other thing I could think of is, and I'm telling you, I don't know if this is possible or not, but is it not also possible that, yes, she was raped? I believe she was raped, but that also she may have been cheating on him. Because if she had been cheating on him, that's a third option of why the kid's a redhead and why she's already, you know, pissed at him.
And that has been a theme of the show, that, you know, wives and cops cheat and all that stuff. I just want to, real quick, sorry, I'm looking. I don't know. I forget what I said in the beginning of the show. The name of the episode we're talking about is Church in Ruins.
Okay.
I think I said something else, which I was Church looking at, Ruins. But I'm just double checking.
Yeah.
But, dude, and I know the show this season's been criticized a few times for its writing, and yeah, there have been a couple corny lines, like that whole cavity thing I think we talked about.
Yeah.
That was kinda, but I got to say, dude, the last show, the whole thing where what's his, what the fuck's his name? Not Ray. Frank's is, you know, sometimes a thing happens, it splits your life.
Yeah.
Before and after. I love that.
Oh, that was great. There was a few things.
I thought that was fucking great. And it might sound simple or cliche, but I love that.
Well, yeah. My thing that I like when Vince Vaughn was talking to Colin Farrell and they say, you know, when Frank's talking to Ray, they're sitting at the table. And he goes, any man would have done what you did. And he said, if that's the thing that keeps you that keeps you out of heaven, I don't want to go.
Right.
Like, that was fucking, that's why it made me believe that.
Yeah.
That I like to believe, and maybe I'm wrong, but I like to believe that Frank still has some sort of fucking moral code, you know?
On some level, absolutely, yeah.
You know, at least with that kind of stuff, you know, where you don't fuck with a man's wife, you know?
Or family, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, or family, yeah. Yeah, oh, there's Moss putting the gist in the chat room of fucking... of fucking Ray losing his shit. Oh, yeah, doing the air guitar with the cigarette shadow boxing is awesome.
Yeah. It's great.
So, yeah, he's just doing these fucking rails. And then, let's see, where else is Frank's? Then at that point, after that, is when Frank's story connects back with everybody else, which is them going into the sex club.
Yeah.
I believe.
Which, what's her name? I know you call her Rachel.
Rachel McAdams-Apple. I forgot her name. But.
Beedries, what the hell's her name?
Anyway,
Beedries.
I forget her name.
Her, she took the role of her sister. I'm pretty sure, like, her sister made the appointment. Pretty much said, "Be me," right?
Yes, and yeah, that starts out with her. The first time you see Rachel McAdams-Apple is her doing the knife fighting thing, her knife practice thing in her apartment.
I kind of wanted to rewind that and go, wait, how do you do that? I want to build one of those things. I got a lot of knives.
Right. And it was.
How do I do that?
She looked like she knew what she was doing, too. Like, all those fucking moves she was doing.
Dude, all I could think of was she must have been, for that short scene, she must have been in a lot of training with some fucking weirdo that knew about knives.
She looked like sweating like crazy. And her sister's telling her about the party, what she has to do, blah, 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 blah.
Right. She's going to be frisked, and she can't take, obviously, a knife, let alone a cell phone or anything inside. And
telling her, oh, their sister was going to dress her because she's going to need help. She has to look like she's worth $2,000 a night for her.
Right.
Yeah, so then they get back. They didn't have a lot this episode, at least background-wise, with Paul.
Wait.
The motorcycle cop.
Oh, right? Yeah, you're right, which I wasn't too sad about. I didn't mind.
No,
that.
I just wanted to make sure we didn't miss anything, but I'm thinking back in the episode, there really wasn't.
No, there wasn't much with his character at all. But we did learn about hers.
Oh,
Which wasn't surprising, but I'll let you get to it.
Well, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, when she gets to the party.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. So she gets to by the way, she looked fucking great.
I was just going to say, she looks amazing.
Holy shit. So anyway.
Oh, wait, can we back up?
Yeah, we have to back up.
Another millisecond? Sure. And I didn't realize until I fucking read about it after I watched it. Do you know who was running that sex party?
No, who?
Blake. The blonde guy that Frank is suspicious of.
Oh, yeah.
That's who's running the whole fucking sex party.
Yes, he was.
That's the guy who was picking out her, the other girl, to get on the bus. Yeah.
So they put her on the bus. They have to put all their purses and their cell phones into this bin.
Right.
I'm trying to think. We're not missing anything else with her before this, right?
So far, no.
It was just that. Okay, so.
And as this is going on, you know, Frank and the, what's the other guy's name?
Ray? Paul?
No, sorry, not Frank. Ray and Paul. Yeah. Ray and Paul are on, like, stakeout. They're watching the place.
Yes.
Canvassing it, making sure, you know, security is. Right. All right.
So then, yeah, they go on the bus. They have to turn on the stuff in. Then when they get to the party, they pat her down when she walks in. And then this is the part, the other thing I just sent you a message of. They put spray molly that I've never seen this before.
I don't think it really exists. And here's the weird thing. They show a big ball of blue pills that look like ecstasy. And her character, she asked the other, like, you know, girl, hooker, random girl that was next to her, what is that?
Right.
And she goes, it's like pure molly. It'll make you feel better. It'll make things easier.
Right.
So you expect, you know, them to take a pill. And then you hear this, like, like sound, like Banaka. Like, yeah. It means, and then that's what they show. They show like this woman going around and spraying Rachel McAdams' apple with like a spray instead of putting a pill in her mouth. It was so weird.
Yeah. And then she's walking around the party after that. While she's doing that, you have Ray and Paul kicking people's asses, basically trying to, you know, get an exit strategy for her.
Which right, that was taking out cool. The outside security.
Holy shit, Ray has some anger problems, man. He knocked him out, and then he's fucking still beating the lid. You saw that? Like, he didn't stop for a while.
No, it was to the point of, I think he might be dead now, sir.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it was. But, dude, I got to say, is it just me? Am I being too, maybe I have too much drug knowledge that I shouldn't? But are you not sick of every single time in film or TV they put some drug, no matter whether it's a hallucinogen or what kind of drug, everything goes blurry. Everything is in echo.
Yep.
It's the same. It's like, no, not every drug makes
it. No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I thought, and this is true because she's already a sex freak, then when they put the molly, she was going to want to do more stuff with people, that she was going to be like fucking weird about stuff.
Right.
But instead she didn't. And then she walked into that room where that dude was like masturbating on the chair while the other people were fucking.
No, wait, is this after she meets the fat oil salesman?
Oh, yeah, we have to back up a bit. Yeah, she gets to the party. She's walking around and then they cut back and forth. They go back to the party. There's people starting to fucking stuff.
Right.
Yeah, the oil guy walks up to her and then, you know, she keeps talking to him. She has to go. But no, but then when she saw the guy master. Yeah, she goes to the bathroom.
And she picks up a knife on the way.
Yeah, like a cheese knife.
Right.
She goes upstairs to vomit, and while she's vomiting, she finds the missing girl.
Yeah, from like what season? I mean, episode one.
Yeah,
finally it ties that up.
Yeah, so she finds her, and then she's walking. This is before she finds her. She's walking around, and then she sees the guy masturbating. And the guy masturbating, I'm assuming that's what turns into her father, younger.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. No. See, I wouldn't say father. I wasn't thinking that until you just said it. I still don't think so. It showed was like a flashback. It's a white guy. It was a flashback to some creepy, you know, hippie-looking guy in a woods going, hey, I saw some unicorns, and you want to help me find them?
Right, right.
And it's him reaching his arm out to her as a kid. And it's obvious that, you know, the tone is that when she was a kid, she was molested, and it shows her as an adult going with him in his butt, you know, so in the words, she still does the same thing, blames herself. But I didn't get the impression it was her father. I got the impression.
Really?
That it was
Really? Maybe I'm wrong. I thought it was her father when she was young. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think, you know, only because, you know, she still visits her father. And
good point. That's a good point. That'd be weird if he, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, that's why she has that thing about sex with her sister, that, you know, anti-sex thing, even though she loves to diddle herself to porn.
Right.
I think, you know, she was molested by some stranger in the woods, and that's why she got so violent when she was hallucinating and
Okay, can I say that guy. Can I say that's something else that I hate? Just like the thing that, that you hate with drugs, like not all drugs are that way.
Right.
I hate that whenever a girl is outwardly sexual, likes to do sexual things, it had to be because she was molested.
Well, of course.
There's like no other reason. She just can't happen to be a freak.
And that's always a victim thing.
Yeah. And that's the thing I don't understand. Like, why can't she just like, you know, I mean, I don't know why for the show, but that's the other thing. They always make it seem that, oh, to be a sexual freak, if you're a woman, it has to be because you were molested. Like, you just can't be that way. But anyway.
So we're up to the point where I guess she finds the girl she was looking for since episode one. Or maybe right before that. And this this big guy comes across her and starts, I guess, attempts to restrain her. Oh, because she pushed the Texas oil guy aside.
Oh, yeah, she did.
And this other guy, and she, you just hear like some Kill Bill slicing sound effects. And this guy
holding her by the throat,
like Mike Myers choking her up in the air. And then he looks down and. Yeah, she sliced the fuck out.
He started bleeding out, and she goes, I think I killed the guy. I remember in the car when she goes,
Yeah, yeah. But I love the typical, like, you know, fat-headed guinea. What'd you do?
What do you think she did, you idiot? She cut you with a knife, you moron.
Yeah, you dumb fuck. You didn't feel
the fuck. Hey, get out of here with your knife. Hey, yo.
What'd you do here?
I was just over here having an authentic New York bagel. And this guy comes over, and she brought comes over, and she starts stabbing me. Hey, why you do that? I'm listening to the Yankees game on my fucking headphones.
All I was doing was choking you to death, and you, what are you doing?
What are you doing? Like, what do you think she's doing, you idiot? I'm really glad all that knife play played off, because imagine if she never killed someone with a knife, and they just showed her fighting with a knife for no reason.
I know, it was like, finally, yeah.
But man, she killed that guy good, too. Like, she fucked him up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So then she runs out.
So.
And then Molly McSpick is running in front of her. Can't outrun. Yeah, yeah. Then they get to the car. The fucking terrible shots. The guards. They're just shooting at a car as it drives away.
Yeah. Yeah. Another commercial for the Dodge Charger. If you haven't noticed.
Yeah. If you haven't. Yeah. Exactly. And that's and it's just yeah. She gets to the car. She goes, "Oh, I think I killed the guy. That's the dude." So they then after that they're debriefing, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Well, no, actually, you know what, dude? No, when they pull away, fuck. I'm trying to think what we missed because that's the end of the episode. They pull out of that place, and there's like the typical.
What did we? We're missing something.
The giant moon in the background, and
yeah, are we sure we didn't miss that? I feel like we missed something when the DA was talking to Rachel McAdams Apple for a little while.
Okay, well, not just that. We missed when she was in the house, the fuck house and the cabin thing. Ray and Paul, right?
Yeah.
They confiscated
The fuck house. They got the DNA was of a woman. Remember, they talked about that, the blood in the fuck house, in the cabin.
Someone was tied up in a chair?
Yeah, it was the DNA of a woman, they said, remember?
I honestly don't remember that. I mean, I remember watching it, but I don't remember them saying it was a woman that was
They said
that
the DNA is conclusive for a woman, yep.
Okay, so, because I originally watched that and from the last episode and thought that was where Casper.
Right. Except that's what we thought, too. That's why I brought it up.
Right. OK. So because it was a woman.
It was a woman that was there, apparently.
But then at the fuckhouse cabin where they broke in, Ray and Paul, they seized the letters where you saw the investors talking about Frank and Casper saying, well, fuck Frank. We don't need his business.
Right.
And they signed papers. And then Paul and Ray.
Yeah.
Took the papers.
Yeah. Oh, and also remember, there was a scene that we didn't talk about with Frank when he's giving Frank and his wife are giving money to that.
Oh yeah, that Casper's wife,
widow. Yeah, yeah. Giving her however much cash
and the son too. That was a great scene as well.
And he hugged the son.
Yeah, I mean, and the speech he gave, and that was pretty
funny. It was really, you're golden, when he told him you're golden and all that stuff.
Yeah, once again, man, you know, for all the flack they get for, you know, some of the writing's cliche or whatever.
That was good.
That was pretty fucking good, though.
Yeah, that scene, that whole scene was really, you know, was well done. And even earlier with his wife telling him after Ray left, you know, it's going to be fine and all that shit, you know, like they seem to be working it out. I'm just not sure what the fucking flack's going to be now for the, now that they know about the sex party and they got the girl out, you know,
because well, I'm trying to think, yeah, the way it left off was, yeah, they rescued the girl from the sex party. The whole thing about the DNA test, we're going to see if his wife follows up on that and is, yeah, keeps a word. It looks like, I mean, do you think that Ray is still working for Frank at this point? It seems like it, right?
Yeah, it seems like the way it ended on the table conversation they had was he was going to still help him out. Yeah, I honestly believe that Ray believes Frank also.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he believes him. I don't know why, but I mean, he believes him for whatever reason.
I think otherwise, in the position and state he was in, he felt he had nothing to lose. He would have pulled that fucking trigger.
Right, because he said...
If he didn't believe him.
That was another great line, like, I'm not going to be your suicide, you know?
Yeah.
You know, don't come here because you want me to kill, you know? I'm not going to be your suicide. Right. I'm going to be your way out.
Right.
Which I thought was fucking great, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gave up on that kid. I mean, he's not gave up on the kid, but I guess he thinks that's the right thing to do, you know?
No, I think that's what sucks. That's why he got like 2 8-balls of coke and whiskey.
Fucking hilarious.
To fucking ease his pain. I think it's because he really, you know, wants to raise the kid.
Yeah.
But knows he can't. And the compromise is he knows how much it'll fuck up that kid's life if that kid knows he's a fucking rape baby. So to keep that from him, he's got to give up contact. And, you know, and that's why he lost his shit and made that compromise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he did. And I mean, I think that, I don't know, man. I want to see, I think right now, this episode made me like Frank more. As far as the one thing that came out of it was, man, I really, really, you kind of see more where Frank's coming from.
Right.
You know,
that and like we said 2 or 3 times, I believe he didn't put up the rape thing.
He looked genuinely.
Yes. Surprised. No, I believe that. I believe he's being genuine about that. So, yeah, no, it totally helped this character. And yeah.
Now I'm going to drink my coffee. Don't fucking shoot.
It was also probably the first episode where he wasn't shaking someone down.
Yeah.
For, oh, dude.
That was a great line. I'm going to drink my coffee. Don't fucking shoot me, Raymond. Like, yeah, there was a couple lines that were pretty funny. Like a Mexican standoff with actual Mexicans. We didn't talk about that.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
There was something I was just about to bring up.
Go for it. I almost forgot.
That fucking where Frank was talking to the Mexicans. Negotiating, saying, you know, you could sell your drugs through my club, protection free for a year, if you just bring me this girl so I could talk to her. And he does it. He gets there, and the fucking Mexicans kill her.
After he talked to her on the phone.
How fucking sick was that?
Yes, they're sitting there dead. And they said, yeah, and he couldn't fight it. I guess he still has to let them.
That's the thing. It's like he already made the deal. Mm-hmm. He's obviously outnumbered, so he's got to honor that, unfortunately. But yeah, he got no info out of that. That was rough.
He was pissed too. I love that line, man. A Mexican standoff with actual Mexicans. I'm gonna say that on my bucket list. A Mexican standoff with actual Mexicans. That whole scene. Yeah, I mean, and I think Frank just feels hopeless at this because, man, they just fucking.
I think he was more hopeless last episode, but now he's coming more around.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's a good point. I think his chick is helping him out. I love how his chick came out with a fucking revolver in her hand.
Yeah.
After Ray left.
She's a goddamn soldier, man. She really is. Like, she doesn't give a fuck. Like, you start liking her more and more. First thing, she's a cunt, but then when you see her, she's like, she's really like...
It does kind of go back and forth, but yeah, she definitely sticks by him. Yeah.
She absolutely does. Like, she does not waver when it comes to that shit.
Right.
You know, and you got to think, if Frank is even willing to adopt a kid, you know, that's shows the big change from going from, I'm not going to adopt someone else's kid to, you know, now I'm going to have, you know...
To compromise. Her
tits look great in that nightgown.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. And yeah, the sex party again, really quick things I wanted to point out. I love when they always do simulated sex. It just looks so stupid. Like when
the good thing about it was that they was only showed like 0.2 seconds at a time.
And it was out of focus in the background at some point.
Right. So you couldn't really. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot more Lesbo stuff going on than I expected, which was nice.
Oh, no, definitely was. And was it just me or was like every single scene where a guy was fucking, there was always two girls?
Yeah, as it should be.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah. But do we have any more anything else from this episode?
I'm trying to think what else. I mean, again, it left off on them leaving the house with the girl. They talked about rescuing the first episode and the papers on the land deal that they kept from Frank and turned Frank down on.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
So, shit, we only got two episodes left.
I guess we could watch, you know, we should actually, we normally do that. We don't have to go the full hour. We go as long as we go. Normally the show goes an hour because we have more people with more opinions. Just me and you today. But let me go ahead and I want to play the preview for like next episode.
Yeah, go ahead.
True Detective season 2, episode 7, I believe is what it's going to be.
Was there anything with Paul and his mom?
I don't think, I don't remember that. If there was, man, I completely must have blocked it out because I do not remember that.
Same here, yeah.
I've just lost interest in Paul in general, to be honest with you. He's whatever to me, you know?
That's one of the things about the season that like, we've talked about. There's just too many characters, and that's I don't give a shit about. Yeah,
exactly, but let me play this here.
We've been in a secret war here the last 6 months.
What are you planning, Frank?
It was bad in there. What did you do? Why did you get with me, Paul?
I'm just trying to be a good man.
There's no way they'll let us go.
We need an exit strategy.
Stay safe and stay alive.
Well, that basically said nothing. That means something big's going to happen. Usually that's what that means. When they show like so little.
Yeah, it's usually a good sign. The other good thing I noticed about the series as opposed to others, when they do the, you know, coming up next on, you know, the next, this show shows the scenes that are going to happen just on the next episode.
Yeah, where, not the rest
where,
of the season.
Where other series will show scenes like, for instance, Boardwalk Empire comes to mind. They'll show scenes that happen six episodes down the line. And it's like, wait, what?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I know like, exactly what you mean. Like next season, they'll do that too. A couple shows like Dexter used to do that. He used to piss me off.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I don't know. Let's see what they happen at the end. I don't know if it's going to be as good in my mind as this first season was.
I don't know. But you know, Royce, let's go with this.
It's
all right.
Different. The thing is, it's so different. Like it's so hard because they're different things.
Well, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But Royce, let's go with this. Who do you think killed Casper? Do you think it was Blake?
Fuck. Man, the thing is that I know there's going to be a big twist, dude. Like, it's a problem. It's so hard to, you know, I'm going to have to say Blake. Yes, Blake.
Who that's what think? I would say. But again, like you were just saying, that might be too easy.
Exactly. That's the problem with this, with these kind of shows is that I don't, it's
and
never.
It's a good problem.
Yeah, of course. I mean, only because it would be too obvious. I feel like, oh, really? That's what we all saw coming, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Who else could it be, though? I mean, really? Just thinking out loud, like, I can't even, I mean, Frank himself? No. I don't see that.
That would be stupid.
I mean, that could be a twist, but I don't see that.
I don't think it's any of the main characters. That's for sure.
What do you think? It's going to be someone we haven't been introduced yet?
It's someone. I mean, remember last season? It was just one dude that they showed maybe for like a little bit. Remember?
Right.
So who knows? It might be someone that they mentioned that we only saw a bit of. Who knows? Maybe it's one of the fucking Mexicans for all we know.
But again, man, you can't. I know. It's the thing. You can't compare the last season to this
one.
Yeah,
you're right. Good point. We'll see. I don't know. I have no clue. Anything else we want?
I'm going to go on record and say I think it's Blake.
Okay, fair enough.
I know it's the easy way out, but I'm saying that.
I'm saying it too because I can't think of anyone else that would make sense at this time.
Right. And there's only what two Two episodes left.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I mean, that's it. I'm done. If you're done, I'm nothing else. That was good though. That was fun. I liked it. Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. This will be up for download soon. Of course, next week we'll be talking episode 7 and then one more episode 8. It should be good. So we'll see how it wraps up. I hope it doesn't end up bad, but so far this season, this episode gave me a lot of hope. It definitely rolled
me back in, man.
Yeah, now it was really good.
Totally into it.
So I'm going to play Lyra Lynn, because we always do that. The Bjork looking chick.
Sweet.
That's always playing. The only thing worth fighting for. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.